This is Straight Out of Vegas.
Straight Out of Vegas!
With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell.
Pay that man his money.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Live from the Vegas Strip, the pregame show America has always wanted. With RJ Bell out, here's Bernie Fratto.
We are just hours from game two of the NBA Finals, and already there has been analysis, over-analysis, paralysis by analysis, reaction, overreaction, recency bias, prisoner-of-the-moment behavior. And for now, that's all the hackneyed phraseology I can think of. But don't worry, we're going to be putting in our two cents also. And also, for what it's worth, it's never too soon to start talking college football. And the Golden Nugget had their annual tradition here in Las Vegas. We'll be hitting that up as well. And yes, the Stanley Cup Finals and best bets are on the docket as well. So please put your tray tables upright and your seat backs forward as we are ready for takeoff. And on that note, welcome back to another edition of Straight Out of Vegas. RJ Bell is on reconnaissance. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. Now, this is the weekend edition of Straight Out of Vegas. As you know, Straight Out of Vegas airs Monday through Friday right here, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Channel 83, from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific, 6 to 7 Eastern, with RJ Bell, Steve Fezzik, Brad Powers, and Jonas Knox. And regardless of the season, know this, as RJ Bell says daily, we promise also on Saturday night to deliver you the Vegas truth every Saturday night. This is Straight Out of Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. Well, Sleepy, finally we get to play game two. Well, we don't get to. The Warriors and the Raptors get to.
Mm-hmm.
But this has been one of the more talked about game ones I can remember in quite a while, because Golden State for the year has really been a prohibitive favorite to win this thing. I don't think a lot of folks had Toronto coming out of the East. My buddy Rob Parker did. That's a story for a different day. There are a lot of key takeaways from the game, though, on Thursday that we really have to address, because they happened. And not the least of which, Pascal Siakam. I mean, there are NBA's finals debuts, and then there are what Siakam did in game one. 32 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 blocks, a beautiful steal. He had an incredible 14-17 shooting from the floor. At one point, he made 11 straight shots. And, he got off the bus and started hitting. I mean, these floaters and these runners and these creative finishes. He was terrific. You know what? Kawhi was solid, too, 23-8-5. All right, let's look at the Warriors. Now, Curry had 34 points. He had 5 assists and 5 rebounds. He did well. But the truth of the matter is, he was hounded all night long. He saw double team after double team. He was trapped very hard on pick and rolls. He got his points, but remember, those points didn't become, you know, impactful in a way that they usually do, because they usually ignite the whole offense, because Curry is typically able to break down the foundation of an opposing team's defense. That wasn't the case. And they do miss Durant, because when Curry's not creating easy offense for Klay Thompson and Draymond and everyone else, that's when you realize you need Durant, because Durant doesn't need anybody's help to score. He's the best ISO player in the game. So one guy that I think the Warriors really need to have to step up tomorrow night, and his MRI came back, we know he's not 100%, I don't know if anybody is this time of year, and that's Andre Iguodala, former MVP. Look, he didn't have a terrible game the other night, 29 minutes, but he was only 0-for-4 from behind the arc. And the reason that's significant is because he only took 4 shots from behind the arc, Sleepy. That's significant to me, because every time Curry got the ball in the wing, Kawhi collapsed and they trapped Curry. Many times the ball swung back to Andre Iguodala. He kept passing up those shots from behind the arc. He's got to take those shots. Now, let's give Toronto a lot of credit. And based on some tweets we've seen tonight, I believe folks in Canada are listening to us. Welcome, Canada. I hope you do listen. I tip my cap to the Raptors. They're a great story. And one of the reasons Arnie and Aaron had mentioned, this is a tough matchup. They're right, simply because Toronto and their defensive efficiency is far better than what Golden State has seen so far in the playoffs. The Clippers, they rank 19th in defensive efficiency. Houston was 18th. Portland was 16th. Toronto, they're fourth. All right? By the way, this was Golden State's 100th playoff game with this group. Did you know, Sleepy, that when Golden State scores north of 104 points in this five-year playoff run, they're 65-9.
Wow, that's impressive.
They scored more than 104 and lost.
Wow.
So give the Raptors a tremendous amount of credit. They absolutely stifled Golden State in the half court. They stopped the ball in transition. And you say they can't get into a slugfest with Golden State? Well, they can. Now, the home team, by the way, in this current format, now 14-1 in their last 15 game ones of NBA Finals. So this whole thing kind of begs the question, is it possible, were the warning signs there, Sleepy? Yes, Golden State swept Portland. But what if everybody knows, they saw it with their own eyes, that for three of those games, Portland led by 17 points and Golden State came back right to win. Obviously, they swept.
Mm-hmm.
What if I told you that, believe it or not, cumulatively for the series, the Warriors trailed for more minutes than they led?
Wow.
They trailed for 100 minutes in that series. Now, we all just, you know, folks shouldn't be that surprised that a team of Toronto's caliber, who won 58 games in the regular season, Golden State won 57, they've got the home court advantage, and teams in the history of the NBA Finals with the home court advantage win 72% of the time. In this new format, they're 6-1. So since the league has gotten away from the 2-3-2, home teams with the home court advantage, that's Toronto, they've won 6 out of 7. The home team also 13-1 in game one. Hey, look, Toronto 41-11 at home this year, including the playoffs. All right, so should you really be that surprised that Toronto comes out and wins game one?
I wouldn't really be surprised there, Bernie. You know, you brought up Iguodala. Let's talk about his injury. He wasn't exactly 100% healthy coming off the court. And I think that, you know, it looked like Kawhi was kind of pedestrian in game one. But you have to wonder if Iggy's not 100% and playing lockdown defense like, you know, like he did in game one, in game two, will Kawhi have a much bigger game? I think Siakam probably comes back right now, Bernie. I looked online offshore. Siakam, total points around rebounds and assists, right now 29.5.
Well, first of all, I don't, yeah. I'm not a prop bet guy, so it's not something I'd be interested in. But let's talk about Iguodala, because everybody forgets he's been hobbled for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
He didn't play in the final game against Portland. They sat him. Then he had an extra 10 days off after that. Got on the floor. He was fine for 29 minutes. Not 100%, but for him, he was still effective, I think, not ineffective. Look, the Warriors out-rebounded him. They just had a problem with turnovers. And give the Raptors credit, because they hit more big shots than the Warriors did.
50% from the floor, too.
Yeah, they're going to shoot 51% again?
Can you really think
they can do that again?
I don't think
that's
so.
That's one of the, you know, so as we look ahead, we're going to talk about my thoughts for how we might want to fire on this game tomorrow in a minute. But back to Iguodala, his MRI came back fine. I think the Warriors, look, they have enough in their tank. They have too much experience. I would say this, and by the way, as I mentioned on with Arnie and Aaron, 88% of the tickets are on the Raptors. Now, Golden State opened up -1. Now the Raptors are laying 2. And you all know about the zigzag theory, which is out the window when it comes to the NBA Finals, all right? So it's under 500. It's not something, if you're going to bet the Warriors based on the zigzag, you don't want to do that. The Warriors are still serious price, depending on the shop, anywhere from -120 to -150. So they are still favorites to win the series. And by the way, the Warriors, in the first half of games coming off a loss with this group, in the NBA playoffs, first half, 10-2, 83%. So there's real value, I believe, on the first half. So how do we look ahead and think about betting this game tomorrow? The guys talked about this earlier in the week, and in this cut, RJ gives a kind of a personal reveal about his history in sports betting. And I can say I not only relate to what RJ says here, but as Yogi Berra might say, well, RJ and I have different similarities. Let's give it a listen.
Learning sports betting is a multiple year process. I'm in my mid 40s, very youthful, you know, but still in my mid 40s. I've been betting for over 30 years. Yes. Since I was 14, statute of limitations is up. I'm fine saying it. But the fact of the matter is that I probably learned more in the last year than I've learned since I was 25, just because we're spending so much time producing this content that I'm learning from you, Steve, and et cetera. I'm not sure if I learned anything from Jonas yet about sports betting, but maybe.
Yeah, how to lose.
If you can learn, those listening, if you can learn one thing about the playoffs, there's two different arenas to consider. One is, what's a team's chance to win the series? And the other is, how good are these teams? What's a chance to win the series? How good are these teams?
See, RJ asks a philosophical question. It's not one that really has an easy answer. I can say that over time, you learn to recognize circumstances and situations better. You understand the relationship between the numbers and the fact that the games are still played by human beings. Does the best team always win? Certainly not. Throughout history, there have been too many examples to name. Super Bowl III, the Miracle on Ice. About the 2004 Pistons, they were plus 400. They beat the Lakers in five. Rob had them too. But I remember, look, they were plus 400 to topple in 2004 the Pistons, to topple the unbeatable Lakers that season, but Rob Parker and I were on the air in Detroit, and we believed in the, quote, the rough-and-tumble upstart Pistons could pose a daunting matchup against the glitzy, finesse-laden Kobe Bryant and company in the Pistons 1-5. I did not predict the Pistons, but Rob did. In retrospect, it doesn't feel like such a big upset now, given that Detroit had a run of five straight Eastern Conference Finals, and the following year, they almost repeated by beating the Spurs. They lost in seven. Again, Sleepy brought up a good point. Can Toronto really shoot 51% from the field again? Really? I don't think so. The Warriors have won at least one road game in 22 straight playoff series. They're going to get a road win in this series. I think it's going to be tomorrow. By the way, you might want to know, for the season, Toronto is only 34-36 against the spread after a win. And if you'd blindly bet Golden State in all 100 playoff games in the current run of this group, that was the 100th playoff game the other night for this group, you bet, flat bet, blindly bet, $100 every game, you'd be plus $1,247. That's 1,200% on your money in 5 years. So who do you trust? I think I trust the Warriors tomorrow. And we'll get to that in the best bets. And I will say this also. It's still going to come down to Toronto's backcourt versus the Slash Brothers. Okay, Curry and Thompson, they're going to go a long way in determining the outcome of this series, and Toronto's still going to need to get dedicated defense from Lowry, Green, and Norman Powell. Meanwhile, the benches, listen, Kevon Looney's been solid. Jordan Bell's going to see more minutes tomorrow night. I believe Alphonso McKinney will too. Can they outdo Fred VanVleet, Norman Powell, and Serge Ibaka? Whichever team's bench steps up, I believe, will have an opportunity to win game two and really decide how far this series goes. Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by Discover. Go further than ever with the Discover It Miles card. See, they automatically match the miles you earn at the end of your first year, so your 35,000 miles could become 70,000. Discover It Miles. Limitations apply. Discover Match for new card members only. Learn more at discover.com/travel. All right, we're going to welcome in a gentleman here on the other side, a fan favorite here in Las Vegas, and talk about one of the great traditions every year, the final Thursday in May. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted, so don't go away. You're listening to Straight Out of Vegas.
Straight Out of Vegas!
You're back on Straight Out of Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio Geico Studios. And let's welcome in a gentleman who's a real crowd favorite here in Las Vegas. He's the longtime sportsbook director of the Golden Nugget Hotel and Casino. Say hello to my good friend, Tony Miller. Tony, thanks for joining us tonight.
Bernie, how you doing, my friend?
Good, buddy. And I want everybody to know how dedicated you are. I know it's the first day of your vacation. You graciously agreed to come on, so thanks. You know, one of the great...
I'm sitting here in the airport ready to get on a plane, buddy.
They're not going to leave without you.
All right.
Tony, one of the great traditions here in Las Vegas is hosted by you and your Golden Nugget team, and it's the release of the college football games of the year the last Thursday in May. Was there a Thursday? All the big names are there. People flying for this. Explain to the folks across the country the ideology behind this promotion and the great opportunity you're providing for bettors.
Yeah, Bernie, we started this in 2007 where we put up college football games of the year, and we just want to get the football season started. We know it's the quiet time right now. It's mostly just baseball going on, and the public's ready for football season. So we put up the college football games of the year. We use the Power 5 conferences, not so much the lower tier conferences, and we take all the good teams, basically the top 40 teams in the country, and we throw out those games throughout the year. And we put up 100 games this year, and we get the bettors $1,000 limits to come up and bet the games, and it was really good this year. It was really solid, so we had a good time on Thursday.
It's always great. So it's off and running. We're about 48 hours in. How's the handle been so far, Tony?
Actually, Brian, I'll be honest with you. It's probably been the lowest handle I've had, and I believe that's a testament to our lines. Our lines were pretty tight. All these guys are pro handicappers. I mean, these guys fly in from all over, and these guys are good, and they know their college football. And I got a lot of compliments on my line saying theirs was basically the same as ours, and because of that, they don't have a lot to bet on. There's not a whole lot of differences. Out of the 100 games we put up, only four of our games basically ran by three or four more points or more. So we did pretty good on the numbers this year.
You guys always do a nice job with that. We're talking with Tony Miller, the sportsbook director here at the Golden Nugget in Las Vegas. Thursday, the big tradition, final Thursday in May. They've been doing it for 12 years, releasing all the college football games of the year. Which games have drawn the most attention so far, Tony?
I'm going to say Nebraska is one of them. The guys were really sold on Nebraska and what Frost has done with that program or going to do with that program. I guess our numbers were a little low, but all the Nebraska games they wagered on, they didn't move a whole lot, maybe 1-2 points, but every Nebraska game that we had, they bet on the Nebraska side. There were three games that moved quite a bit. One of those games was the Florida State-Syracuse game where we opened up Florida State at a 1.5-point favorite, and Syracuse is another team that the handicappers really liked this year, and that went to -3 on Syracuse, so that was a 4.5-point move with Syracuse now the favorite. The last game of the season, the famous Army-Navy game. Real high on Army this year. I love this little Army team. I think they're solid, and I opened that game up Army -13 on that last game of the season, but they bet that down to -8.5. Army the favorite. And the only other game that really moved a lot was LSU-Auburn. And we opened that game up, LSU 9.5, and they bet Auburn down to 6.5. So there was a lot of times these guys, they like the Auburn team too, and they bet all the Auburn games.
Full disclosure, Tony, I've only fired on one of the games right now, but you stole my thunder. I did grab Nebraska plus the 10 points to host Ohio State on September 28th. I'm big on the quarterback coach continuity, and they're starting over with Ryan Day, who I think is very sharp, and they got the kid from Georgia. Has that line moved at all, or is it still on 10? Is Ohio State still laying 10 on the road to Nebraska?
That line's came down, and, like I said, they bet every Nebraska game. It didn't come down probably very much, maybe 1 or 2 points, but every Nebraska game we had, Bernie, that line has moved towards the Nebraska side. I do like Ohio State this year, though. I think Fields, their new quarterback, he's got something proven to do, but let me tell you, Dobbins, their running back, is going to be awful good, a Heisman candidate, and they probably have a defensive lineman in Chase who can be maybe the number one or two pick in the draft next year.
I'm very high on Ohio State as well, Tony. Urban Meyer is going to be a couple of doors away. He'll be in Ryan Day's ear. They're loaded on defense. They didn't lose that much. I mean, yes, they lost Paris Campbell. They lost their quarterback and their coach, but they're going to be loaded. And that kind of, because of my old stomping grounds, I always pay attention to the Michigan schools. Last year at this time, if you would have fired on Michigan, you would have been getting 6, 6.5 when they traveled to Columbus. Yes.
Yeah.
And then the line flipped. It went crazy. And when the game kicked off, I think Michigan was laying 3, something like that. Yeah. Weren't they a road favorite?
Yes, they were.
The reason I bring that up is because – I looked at that game, and I thought to myself, my goodness, why would someone bet Michigan now laying points on the road when they could have been getting almost a touchdown 3 months ago? And, of course, ironically, proving you guys are sharp, Ohio State blew them out anyway, so it didn't matter. But do you ever get concerned about a little exposure like that where a game can flip like that and go the wrong way?
Oh, definitely. When we put these games up just front out in advance, you know, I mean, a lot of things can happen over the next, you know, few months where there could be some injuries in practice. And, you know, these lines can change. Some of these games aren't being played until October, November. And,
right.
you know, an injury comes down to a major quarterback or a star running back or whatnot, then, of course, that line changes quite a bit. It could change in our favor, could go against us, could go for us. But, yeah, of course, our necks are out there. But as far as we're concerned, so are the bettors.
Well, absolutely. Look, a lot of folks think they can find inefficient markets. It's not so easy. You guys are very sharp with the job you do. The other game that caught my eye, Tony, was, of course, the other Michigan team, Michigan State, visiting Michigan on Saturday, November 16th. Sparty catching 13.5. Now, prior to last year, Michigan State had covered 9 in a row. What were your thoughts about that number and laying a double digit to Michigan State?
You know, all these interstate rival games I had a tough time with. There was three of us who worked on these games, my assistant Aaron Kessler and Bruce Marshall from the Gold Sheet, and we all came up with our numbers. And this is one of those games, Michigan State, you know, this is a team you got to watch out for. They're always so good on defense.
Yes.
You know, they're tough on defense, and they always get up for this game no matter what happens. So 13.5 might be a lot of points in this game, but we're seeing come that time. You know, I know there's a lot of pressure on Harbaugh during the season, but we'll see what happens with, you know, that team and as they go along as far as Shea Patterson and what injuries come up with that team. But that's going to be a tough game for both of those guys.
Absolutely. We're wrapping it up with Tony Miller, sportsbook director of the Golden Nugget, a crowd favorite here in Las Vegas, the college football games of the year. Top credit, Tony. The first game kicks off Saturday, August 24th. Miami will play Florida. The game will be played in Orlando. That kind of kicks off. And like you said, Army and Navy in Philadelphia on December 14th. So you've got a full gamut of games, 100 of them that'll last the entire football season, 4 months. Any final thoughts before we let you go, Tony?
Well, you know, we put these games up, Bernie, and we hope, you know, we love when the public comes in and plays them. It's just not for the professional handicappers. It's for the casual bettor. You know, it's fun to do and come in and bet on your team. We also put up the national championship game, a what-if game, and that was Alabama-Clemson. And right now we threw up Clemson in that game, if they should play, Clemson -2 with a total of 56.5. So keep that in mind also.
Gotta love it. Tony, enjoy your vacation. Let's get you on in July. Talk about that great contest you have at Golden Nugget as well.
Fantastic, Bernie. Thank you, man.
Appreciate it. That's Tony Miller, sportsbook director of the Golden Nugget. Great guy. Even played football here at UNLV back in the day. Everybody loves Tony. What does it mean when Geico says just 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance? It means you probably should have gone to geico.com 15 minutes ago. Up next, how much can you really flip and change your mind over just one game? We'll let you know. But first, let's go to Brian Finley with the latest.
Thank you so much, Bernie. Will Smith acting in a leading role. No, not the man from Hollywood, but the 29-year-old rookie slugging a walk-off home run as the Dodgers beat the Phillies 4-3. It's Smith's first career home run. Tim LeCastro poking the game-winning RBI single in the ninth to lead the Diamondbacks past the Mets 6-5. The Mets bullpen gave up a 4-run lead in the eighth. What a clown show. The Cardinals drubbed the Cubs 7-4 after nearly 7 hours. St. Louis clubbed back-to-back home runs in the eighth inning. Rain halted play for over 3 hours. The Marlins harpooned the Padres 9-3. Miami scored 5 runs in the fourth. In hockey, the Bruins tormented the Blues 7-2 to take a 2-1 series lead at the Stanley Cup Final. St. Louis went 4-for-4 on the power play. Blues goalie Jordan Binnington got benched after allowing 5 goals. In boxing, Andy Ruiz Jr., hardly looking like in playing shape, knocked out Anthony Joshua Joshua in the seventh round to win the heavyweight title. And just like that result, online car shopping can be perplexing, but not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car, so visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Yu Liu and Celine Boutier, both former Duke Blue Devils, lead the U.S. Women's Open at 7-under through three rounds at the Country Club of Charleston in South Carolina. Coverage on Sunday begins on Fox at 2 p.m. Eastern. Back to Bernie Fratto.
Brian, you heard us talking college football. What's your favorite college football team, buddy?
Guys, I got to go with two. Ole Miss. Used to work in Memphis and covered the team. Love the program. My dad went to Ole Miss, and then also UCLA. I have my mom who went there. So those two programs on the rise and have had success and haven't had it recently, Bernie, but hopefully things will get turned around with Chip Kelly leading the way here in Los Angeles with UCLA.
I knew you liked UCLA. You're an alum, right?
So I am an honorary alum. I do a coach's show for them during basketball and football season. So I'm as close to being an alum perhaps as I can without actually getting a degree there, if that makes any sense.
I know you stuck up for Josh Rosen. I'll give you top credit.
Yes.
He was only 17 and 13 in there, 57 touchdowns, 29 interceptions. I don't like Josh Rosen, but that's a story for a different day, Brian. Yeah. Hope we can still be friends.
We can still be friends.
We'll be BFFs.
Absolutely.
Ryan Bershinger, what's your favorite college team?
Well, despite the fact that Cal State Northridge is still undefeated, never lost.
They never lost a bowl game either.
No, exactly, exactly.
Actually, didn't they go? I think they went to the Minute Bowl a couple years ago.
That's right, that's right. And always dominant. But no, I liked mid-majors, so Boise State is actually my favorite team.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up with those exciting teams, and of course the Fiesta Bowl against Oklahoma is maybe the best game I've ever watched. So
the kid that scored the touchdown on the hook and lateral, his name's Gerard Rabb. He went to my high school.
Oh, nice.
Yep, yep. You guys didn't know that, did you, that I went to high school? All right, thanks for checking in, guys. Let's get back to business. Sleep, eat, look. Fezzik and RJ had an interesting conversation about what I would call first impressions and how they can really be flipped or not flipped based on only one game. See, if you could look into the future, what's the one question you would ask before the series, Golden State, Toronto, that would enable you to receive the assurance you would need to fire on a bet? Fairly thought-provoking question. Let's take a listen.
Most of our listeners are dedicated listeners because they know, one, if they're betting, that, you know, the 50% of our batters, they're listening every day. It's like one of those things, they're at their kid's recital, they got the little transistor radio in the back. Fez, here's the question. 50 to 60% chance Toronto is going to win based on the Vegas odds entering game one. Toronto wins. What possibly happened in that game that changed your fundamental opinion about how good Toronto is and how good Golden State is? Because if nothing did, then all we say is sometimes it's heads, sometimes it's tails. Let's keep flipping, baby. So what was it that coming in you would have loved to have known?
Would have loved to have known how Toronto, those baby dinosaurs, were going to handle the bright lights of the NBA Finals, something that Kawhi has certainly seen before, but most of their other players had not.
Look, I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. It's worth telling. All right. In 1988, when the Pistons got over the hump, they beat Larry Bird and the Boston Celtics to make it to the NBA Finals. Isaiah Thomas admitted that Kevin McHale gave him some advice that was so valuable, he couldn't even understand how valuable it was at the time. If you can recall, when they were walking off the floor, McHale walked on from behind and whispered something in his ear, and Isaiah didn't tell us what he said till about a year later. He said, quote, "Don't be satisfied just to be there." That's what Kevin McHale said. It's almost impossible with the bright lights because you get in that moment and no one knows how they're going to react if they haven't been there before. And for the record, in 88, the Pistons lost to the Lakers in seven. But no one remembers that the Pistons won game one at the Forum by 20. But the Lakers still came back to win in seven. But the Pistons roared back in 89 to beat the Lakers. And in 90, they hammered Portland in five. The Pistons, that team, the Bad Boys, with Rodman and Chuck Daly and James Edwards and Vinnie Johnson and Joe Dumars, Bill Laimbeer, they came this close to three-peating. The bottom line is there is no substitute for experience. Now, Kawhi has it, He's not only, you know, got experience in the NBA Finals, he's got a ring, and he was the MVP of the Finals. A champion. Serge Ibaka, he, Danny Green, they've got experience too. Well, Pascal Siakam, he was king of the world Thursday night. And Fred VanVleet was pretty solid too, as the supporting cast. But see, for me, that doesn't necessarily answer the question definitively, because in fact, it somewhat raises a new one. What do they do for an encore? Look, I've been betting a long time, just like RJ. Let's face it, what goes up must come down. And I give the baby dinosaurs, as Fezzik called them, a ton of credit. But guess what? Now all of a sudden, there are expectations. And frankly, that can change the dynamic.
Bernie, my biggest question going into game two, not game one, was the public going to react in a negative way towards Golden State, being that they haven't played since like May the 20th, 10, 11 days off for Golden State? All we've seen was good stories for Toronto, Drake talking about Kawhi, Toronto winning the last game. So my biggest concern was, what was the line going to do? Obviously now -2. I don't agree with that, Bernie. I think overreaction towards, you know, Golden State being off for that long and Toronto coming with an impressive win.
Well, we all know what moves the line here in Vegas. It's money. Mm-hmm. And the books are going to always manage risk. And I think you're getting a bargain with Golden State, but we're going to save that for best bets. Look, right now, you bring up a really good point. It's funny how things can change from one game to the next. As I mentioned with Arnie and Aaron, game one, 93% of the money and 78% of the tickets were on Golden State. But at least four syndicates came in 4 different stages or more and put a ton of money on Toronto. And they turned out to be very right. And that moved that line all the way to Toronto -1 or pick 'em in some shops. Now, guess what? I think your phraseology was recency bias. Everybody remembers what they saw last, right? Well, now 88% of the tickets are on the Raptors.
Mm-hmm.
And even though Golden State opened up the send-off line was -1, you never saw it. It's now +2. Golden State is getting +2. And I got to tell you, history leads me to believe that it's going to be pretty hard for me to pass that up. Now, tomorrow night at this time, I might look foolish. But I don't feel like I'm making a bad play if I talk about the team and fire on the team that's had 100 games together and won 4 championships. So, or 3 championships. I got to hit. Maybe that's a Freudian slip. Maybe they'll win a fourth. We'll see. Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by Discover. Go further than ever with Discover It Miles Card. They automatically match the miles you earn at the end of your first year. So your 35,000 miles could become 70,000. Discover It Miles. Limitations apply. Discover Match for new card members only. Learn more at discover.com/travel. More business to get to, including best bets. So you don't go anywhere. That's an order. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted. So don't go away. You're listening to Straight Out of Vegas.
Straight Out of Vegas!
We're back on Straight Out of Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. And before I go any further tonight, I want to thank my broadcast team, all the guys back in L.A., Brian Fenley, Chris Perfett, Ryan Bershinger, and Bo Benson. Appreciate all you guys do. You do a great job in helping us put together and produce and deliver Straight Out of Vegas every Saturday night. You're kind of like those all-pro NFL linemen that open the holes for the running backs to get all the glory. By the way, I run the 40 in about 2 days. Sleepy, I want to thank you, too, for all that you do and all the behind-the-scenes stuff, not the least of which is also give a best bet every week, and you've done a fine job on that as well. We're coming up on our year anniversary. It's how time flies. What's your best bet tomorrow, Sleepy?
My best bet tomorrow, Bernie, NBA Finals Game 2. Warriors-Raptors under 214.5. Bernie, these teams shot a combined 46% from the floor last time. That's not going to happen again. They also shot 63 free throws in the last game. Bernie, they made 56. There were like 56 fouls in that last game. I don't think that happens again. Raptors, they're not going to try to play another fast, high-paced game here with the Warriors. That can get them in trouble. Look for Toronto to play a much slower pace Sunday. My best bet, Bernie, Warriors-Raptors under 214.5.
You know what's interesting is I really like the under in game one. I didn't fire on it. I was just afraid. I just didn't want to do it. I was a little surprised at the ease which that game went over, but aren't you a little surprised that it slowed up at the end there, too? And it's not like it went over by 20 points.
Yeah, yep.
So I think you're right. And I'm curious to see how Toronto reacts tomorrow with respect to the attention they've brought upon themselves. And that, listen, they're a legitimate contender, okay? This I mentioned last week, I thought I had Golden State in six, with or without Kevin Durant, maybe. But I said this series could even go seven, and I'm still thinking that could happen. Before I get to my best bet, I want to get the I want to share with you, again, a conversation that RJ and Fezzik had the other day, because in this cut, what they did is they looked ahead to game two in the line, as well as the factors they consider when they decide on who they might back as the Warriors look to even the series. Let's have a listen.
The premise is Toronto's not much better. Golden State's not any worse. So you would think the line would be somewhat aligned with game one. So Fez, why, who do you like and why?
So I like Golden State plus two. And I got to tell you, RJ.
All right, so plus two.
Yes.
So what was the line in game one?
Game one, Golden State was plus 1.5.
When they lost, they're getting more points. And you would think, that makes sense. We've seen how bad Golden State is. You know, not bad, but they're not as good as we thought, blah, blah, blah. We got the narrative. Even though Steph won all those games, he finally lost one without Durant. It's like, see, that's what we've been talking about. No, he's now like 32-2 in the last 34 without him. You can't overemphasize the most recent game. Now, the zigzag theory, which we talk about it again and again, but real quick. In the NBA, when a team loses, like Golden State, other team won, like Toronto, you expect, what, 90% of the time? The line to think the losing team is going to do better. Why? Because they're motivated. They don't want to go back 0-2. And Toronto's sitting back a little fat and happy. Not a huge factor, but it affects things about a half point. So the fact the line went the other way, away from the zigzag, means the market said, oh, Toronto's a lot better than we thought. I don't think so. I'm betting it. I'm betting Golden State. A double best bet.
All right, so RJ kind of stole my thunder here because I love the Warriors Sunday, and frankly, I don't have enough time to give all the reasons. I'm going to give a few in a minute, but I've seen the line get to 2.5, and I jumped on it. I bought the half point and got it at 3. But it's not my best bet. I like that bet tomorrow, and I'm on it, but I'm going to give you my best bet in a second. I want to keep on RJ's theme for a minute. Because keep in mind, the Warriors are still favorites to win the series. I've seen them minus 120 in some shops. I've seen them as high as minus 150 in some shops. The Warriors have won at least one road game in their last 22 playoff series, and currently 88% of the tickets are on the Raptors. In the last 18 games, when the Warriors are coming off a loss, whenever the majority of the tickets are on their opponent, the Warriors are a cool 18-0 in the situation. And we asked this earlier in the show. Can Siakam really shoot 82% from the floor again? No. 82%. Will Golden State really miss 23s tomorrow and turn the ball over 17 times? Well, this is one of those times where my 30 years of betting experience, yes, me too, it tells me not to overreact. What happened in game one? The two-time defending champs catching point, coming off a loss, that's what I call value. But my best bet is the first half, the Golden State Warriors plus 1.5 in the first half. RJ talked about the zigzag theory. There was a time where in the playoffs, whoever won game one, you just blindly bet game two. But that's 15 years ago, okay? That's a long time ago. Don't think about that anymore. I mean, I'm not betting Golden State tomorrow because of the zigzag. I'm betting it because of other factors that I've talked about throughout the show. Just so you know, in the last 15 years, in game one, if the team loses the road game in game one, they're only 6-8. Straight up and against the spread in game two. That's not enough for me. But Golden State, as I mentioned earlier in the show, when they've lost a game for any reason in the playoffs, they're 10-2 in the next game in the first half. So give me Golden State, that experience. I think tomorrow we see what's really going to be a great game. Look, were the warning signs there? Golden State trails for over 100 minutes against Portland, even though they swept them, they trailed by 17 points in three games. Look, I believe I have a theory that Golden State was pacing themselves. They knew they were going to get to the finals. They're not going to pace themselves tomorrow. The old cliche, they're going to leave it all on the floor. They're going to leave it all on the floor. And I think you're going to see a good game top to bottom. Remember, Toronto, they lost game one to Orlando. They lost game one to Milwaukee. They were down 2-1 versus the Sixers. Whether or not Toronto comes back and wins the series is still to be debated, even though they're not the favorites to win the series. Golden State is. But it's going to be a slugfest. It's going to be a war. By the way, I think I mentioned this on the show last week, that heading into Thursday's game, Steve Kerr was 18-1 in game ones and 4-0 in series finals. I honestly get the feeling. And by the way, the last time Golden State had a 10-day layoff, you can't blame that either. That was 2017. They whopped Cleveland by 22. All right? And let's also not forget, Kawhi's got a lot of mileage on him. He's played 100 more minutes than anybody for the Warriors. 66 more. Actually, he's played 100 more minutes than Steph Curry. 66 more than any of the Warriors. Don't go to sleep on Golden State tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. All right, folks. He's Sleepy. I'm Bernie Fratto. This is going to do it for this week's edition of Straight Out of Vegas. Now, up next, Jason Martin is vacationing in California. He's been at Disneyland. He's been all around having a good old time. But stay tuned for my man, Chris Plank. He's up next.
Vegas!